Today is Monday, April 16th, 2012. This is Sylvania City Council Committee of the Whole. The time is 4:40 p.m. In attendance are all members of council, as well as the mayor, Chief Rodas, George Eichenhour, Scott Smith, Jim Rohn, and we have Carol Ryan here from the Blade. This meeting is to review the law enforcement budget for this coming year. And at this time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Chief Rodas.
Thank you, Mr. Milner. I guess to get us going here to for some discussion, I gave each one of you a packet here. And in the packet, you'll find three separate little items there. First one is more of an informational thing that I'll discuss this with you over the structure of the police department and a few other little items that I'd like to make you aware of. The second item with the paperclip on is the budget from this year going back to 2009. And the last one will be what was basically termed the area police departments, and it tells you about the fleet count, personnel count, and the budget amount for each police department. So basically, to get us going here, what I'd like to do is talk to you a little bit about over the last 2 years, I've been very privileged to be the chief of police here for the city of Sylvania. It was almost 2 years ago that I was appointed the chief. And over that course of the last 2 years, we made some changes over in the structure of the police department. And on the first page, you will see, and it talks about how many personnel we have in the police department. We have a total of 41 personnel, 34 being sworn police officers, 6 being civilian telecommunicators, and we also have 1 administrative secretary. Prior to becoming chief there on April 26, 2010, this was our structure of the police department at that time. You had myself and the operations captain were in the administration, and you had, in community affairs, you had 5 officers assigned to community affairs, in which you had 1 sergeant and you had 4 patrolmen assigned to community affairs. Of the 4 officers assigned there, you had 2 that were SRO officers at Northview and Southview High School. 1 was a full-time DARE officer, and the other one kind of split the time up of being a part-time SRO and DARE officer over in McCourt Junior High. In the Detective Bureau, you had 3 officers in there. You had a sergeant in charge, and you had 2 detectives assigned to the Detective Bureau. At that time, we also had 1 officer assigned as a court security officer and a property room evidence officer. And then the most amount of officers we have assigned are to our road patrol. At that time, we had 22 officers assigned to the road patrol division. You had a sergeant and 6 patrolmen on 7-3 shift. On 3-11 shift, you had sergeant and 7 patrolmen. 11-7, you had a sergeant and 5 patrolmen assigned. And at that time, we also had a swing shift sergeant who split the time up 2 days on afternoons and 2 days on midnights. Over the last 2 years, I had 2 objectives that I wanted to reach. One was to minimize the overtime expenditures, and the second one was to increase manpower on the road patrol. In doing so, I knew I was not going to be given any more personnel. You have to take a look at what you have, and you have to restructure things. So at that time, what I did, on the second sheet you'll see, we had 1 detective assigned to what was called the DEA Task Force. I brought that officer back and assigned him to the road patrol. And then I also had another officer that was assigned in community affairs, who was the part-time SRO DARE officer. I reassigned that person back to the road patrol. You have to increase your manpower hours, your man hours on the road patrol to make sure that, one, we had a lot of overtime being used up on the road patrol. So you had to add some personnel to decrease that overtime on the road patrol. The third thing that I did, and we just did this within the last couple of months, is that we eliminate the court security officer and the property room officer, and we return that officer to the road patrol. Thus, what I did is I increased my manpower on the road patrol by 3 officers. And we currently have 3 detectives, we have 4 people assigned to community affairs, and we're meeting all the needs and services that we can for the city. Anytime, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. In doing this, what my goal was to minimize the overtime expenditures, I also issued a special order. At the time, we were getting inundated with a lot of overtime on the road patrol because of road shortage. At that time, we had a procedure in which we mandated to have 3 patrolmen working at all times on shift. Prior to that, if you recall back in 2005 when we annexed Southview and the Savannah King area out there, what we decided to do with the police department was to make sure we had a patrolman assigned to each district. We have 3 districts. So we went and we said we got to have 3 patrolmen on duty at all times. What that did was increase our overtime, because a lot of times you would have sick time, vacation time, and you would have 2 patrolmen working, so you always had to bring a 3rd patrolman in on overtime. Thus, we had a great amount of overtime being used up during those years. So what I did is I issued a special order mandating that we only have to have 3 officers out there on the road now. 3 officers means you can have a sergeant and 2 patrolmen, you can have 3 patrolmen, you can have 2 sergeants and 1 patrolman working, as long as you have 3 officers out there to cover the 3 districts. And by doing that, it cut our overtime hours greatly. And I started doing that when I first became the chief in April of 2010. And on the 3rd page here, you would take a look at, and it talks about the overtime hours, budget overtime, and the expenses. The first line there, if you take a look at police overtime hours, you'll see going back to 2006, I didn't have the reports available anymore. But starting in 2008, you would see we had 8,191 overtime hours. 2009, we went up to 8,500. And then when I instituted my special order back in 2010, we started to decrease the overtime hours worked by the officers here in the department. And then if you go into 2011, you'll see that it went down to 4,200 hours. That's a 50% reduction in overtime hours. Thus, if you calculate that into money, it's about a $200,000 saving right there. Just by issuing a little special order, you know, mandating that we only have to have 3 officers out there. And it's worked. And believe me, you know, we're not cutting back on our officers because we did this before. We just went back to doing it again. So, and if you take a look at the next line item, you're looking at the police overtime over the years from back to 2006. This is what was in the budget for that time. Going back to 2010, you'll see $259,000. 2011, that's when we started to decrease the amount of overtime by taking a look at what we used in 2010. In 2012, we're still at $200,000 budget for overtime. But if you take a look at the usage on the next line where it's police overtime, you'll see, starting in 2010, we started to minimize the overtime expenses at 216. And in 2011, we were far under what was the budget amount for overtime at 167,000. So, you know, I have to be very thankful to the officers working here and to my supervisors. Without their assistance, it couldn't have been done. Because I made it very clear that we needed to minimize the overtime expenditures, And with their assistance, they have helped me greatly, so. And if you take a look at now in the telecommunications, you know, the same thing applies with them. They'll just tell you what their budget amount was. 2010 was $70,000. We came in at $58,000. 2011, we were at $50,000. We used a little bit up, $57,000, because we had some city usage. Currently, I'll be quite frank, we are probably the leanest police department in Northwest Ohio. We have 34 sworn officers, 6 dispatchers. And on the last item here, I'll show you what the comparables are to other departments, how many personnel they have and so forth. So we have been doing this for the last 29 years, and it's been working out. We have great staff. We have a great group of officers and dispatchers, and they understand that the economy is not the best right now, and they're working with us tremendously on this. So, on the next page, I just want to bring to your attention, over the last couple of years, and this is something that we have 3 drug runs in which, you know, we have forfeited monies from drug seizures in which we are allowed to use some of the funds out on certain items for the police department. Thus, as the equipment, some other things, we can donate some money to charitable causes. And I just want to let you know that over the last 2 years, we've continued to do that in which, you know, I've taken money out of the drug funds and spent it on equipment for the police officers, such as new SRT helmets, body armor vests, things of that nature. We've also done some upgrades to our software programs that I've used some of these funds to upgrade that in. And then also for donations such as SCAP, Southview, Northview, we donated funds to them, drug fund. So we're trying to be very, very conservative in our expenses with the police department. So, you know, this is a great thing to have, to utilize some funds out to spend on such items as this. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention also. Going on to the next page here, just talking a little bit about projections coming in the near future. If you recall, normally we purchase new police cars every 3 years, and we're due to purchase new cars for this year. I felt, you know, taking a look at that, I extended that to the year 4 and 5. And what we're going to do, instead of buying all new police cars all at one time, do half in this year for next year, and then next year we'll buy 4 more cars for, you know, 2014. Thus, you know, I feel we had to extend the longevity of our police cars. We have a great vehicle maintenance down there. They allowed us to utilize the cars longer. We can drive the cars up to 110, 120,000 miles. The days where we used to trade them in with 60, 70, 80,000 are gone. So we're going to extend the longevity of our police cars. And this is a good thing because we have a real good preventive maintenance program that allows us to do that. So thus we're saving some money, and we're all going to be using some money, half of the money up next year and the year after. And the cost of per car will be roughly, if I cannot cannibalize some of the equipment on these cars and transfer them over to the new cars, you're looking between $30,000 and $35,000 per car. But I'm hoping that we can cannibalize a lot of the items that we and equipment that we have in these cars. We can put them in the new cars. But until they get the new 2012 cars out there, the police cars, we won't know until we see that. So just want to let you know about that. Other projections that we're going to be dealing with here in the upcoming future would be contract negotiations. We'll be looking at that again. And I haven't forgot about this. I like to talk about my SWAT vehicle. I postponed requesting that this year, but I would like to bring that back up in a couple of years when it's the right time, so.
How many miles would be on these cars when you trade them in?
Well, what I'll do is I'll take a look at the four cars that I'm going to trade in. I'll look at the maintenance on them. Do we have any problems with the cars right now? And what the mileage is on them. And what we'll do is we'll take a look at that, and that'll determine which cars I'm going to trade in at that time. But normally, it's going to be probably 80 to 85,000, maybe 90,000 on some of these cars. So I'll take a look at that. Going on to page six here, just talking about personnel projections in the future. I talked a little bit about retirements. We currently have four officers that are in the drop system of program. That's the deferred retirement option plan that is in the OPNF. All four of the officers have indicated that they like to do the full amount in drop, which is an 8-year stint in that. So these officers, two of them can retire in April 2019. And then you have one that can retire in November 2019 and one in November 2018. However, I want to bring to your attention, two of these officers do have some medical issues that I believe they may probably request disability retirement probably in the next 2 to 3 years. They may have back surgery, and you know, that's always a possibility that could happen. I also have two officers that have indicated, and you know, that's why I put a question mark, that once they reach 25 years, they're gonna opt out and retire. You know, that's questionable, but that's always a possibility. So there you have about 4 to 6 officers over the next 7 years could be retiring. And I just wanted to, you know, if you take a look at the sheet here, you look at how many years of service the officers have. Currently, we have three officers that have 25 years or more, 6, 20, 6, 15 years or more. You have 6, 10 years or more, 1, 5 years or more. And we have the majority in which we hired 12 officers over the last 5 years. And we have a young group of officers that will be around for a while. With our dispatchers, you take a look. We currently have 6 dispatchers. And there's a very good possibility here at the end of the year when OPERS make some changes in their pension plan, that we will have 2 retirements occur. One will be probably, perhaps, our chief dispatcher could retire. It's not a certainty, but he has indicated that if the changes are made, there's a good possibility that he will retire. So then we have our administrative secretary has been here for less than 3 years, so. That's what we have to look forward to in the coming years, personnel-wise.
Chief, just looking at the personnel numbers, that spread doesn't look particularly troubling to me, is it? Do you see any, do you have any concerns with that?
No, I don't. I will say to you, we have been at 34 officers for numerous years, and to go below that, we, you know, it's like I said before, we are at the leanest of all departments in this area. If we would go below that, then I would have to probably take a look at restructuring the police department once again, which could basically involve taking some personnel from other areas of the department, such as school officers, and reallocating them to the road patrol if I will lose any officers down the road. And I wasn't allowed to hire anymore to replace the ones that would possibly leave, so.
And I may have some questions about that. I guess what I was particularly focused on right now is in terms of our police personnel service figures, the distribution of the age of our officers, where we have, I know we have 12 who are there, have been here for 5 years or less. But I would expect you would always have a larger group in that younger area.
Well, up in, a few years ago, we were very top-heavy with law and leaders, but it looks a lot better now.
Yeah, I would think this distribution is probably more along the line of what we.
I would say you have four officers, including myself, who are 50 years or older. All the rest are probably, I want to say 45 years and younger, going down to probably 25, 26.
So. Well, Chief, if you're one of the old guys, I think we're doing pretty good.
I am. So, excuse me. Going on to the next, I just talked a little bit about.
Chief, excuse me, before you go on, I think I'm comfortable that you've staffed this the way our community needs it to be staffed to keep our citizens safe. But three officers on a shift, could you talk a little bit about how in a community the size of Sylvania, which is not a huge number of square miles, but there's a lot going on, how that relates to providing a good response and a good level of service for our folks?
Sure. Normally, and you know, I've worked all three shifts here. And I'll start with midnight. Three officers covering, I believe we have 5.6 square miles of coverage. Enough to take care of all the services, all the needs that we have on that given shift. If for any point that we need extra personnel, my command staff, they have the ability to go ahead and call officers in if they need them. We also have what's called mutual aid. We can request mutual aid from Sylvania Township, Lewis County Sheriff's Department, and even Toledo Police if we have a need to call on them to assist us. So we have enough officers out there to cover, you know, midnights and afternoons. Afternoons is usually our busiest shift. And if you take a look at what I did is when I brought the officers back, I increased the numbers on the two shifts that I feel are probably the busiest, one being afternoons, the second one being day shift, because we have a lot of things we're doing on days now. We no longer do court security, we do transports of prisoners. So we've done away with having Sylvania Township do our prisoner transports, thus saving some money in that respect, but now we're doing the transports ourselves. And normally, any given year, we're going to do about 48 to 50 transports. That's about maybe 2 to 4 a week that we will transport prisoners out here to court. And that's why I have extra personnel on day shift to help take care of that, plus cover the road at the same time. That's why, same thing on afternoons, that's our heaviest shift in the day with the most calls. And I have quite a few officers on that shift also. You know, if you ever have to short a shift, it's always a midnight shift. Because it's usually, and I'm sure most of you travel around here at nighttime, you may see 4 or 5 cars out there traveling on a weeknight around 12, 1 o'clock at night. And maybe 3 of them might be police cars. So, we have the coverage out there. It's utilizing what manpower I have out there, and we're meeting the needs and taking care of it.
So from a safety standpoint, something that you said I think makes sense to what I observe visually, and that is that the mutual aid piece, particularly with the township officers, is helpful to us.
Yes.
Because they can respond to calls
and
as well.
And we respond to calls for them. It's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. So.
So the way to think about it is not that we have three officers on the street, but three plus what the sheriff has in the sector and three...
The township has.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right, I think that's an important distinction. And I'm glad that you're leveraging it that way because it makes a lot of sense to use that backup.
So...
Chief, how do you handle court time? You know, where they have to appear in court for whatever reason?
Well, you have two ways of handling it. One, if they're on duty, they go over there and they're on duty.
It pulls them off the street.
And it pulls them off the street, and it's temporary that they're over there. The other thing, if they're off duty and they show up for court, contract-wise, you have to pay them what's called $3 call-in pay. That's 3 hours of regular pay for anything less than 2 hours. Anything over 2 hours, it becomes overtime. And they have the ability to take it as ad hoc hours, paying back the city for time they owe us, or they have the ability to take it as comp time. What we have done with the court time, we instituted this probably a year ago, in which we're having our officers on day shift file the charges. Instead of having the officers come in off duty file charges, I'm now having the day shift officer go in there and sign the charges and file the charges, thus, you know, saving some money in call and pay. So anyways, as you see, the next little packet here is the budgets for the last 4 years, just talking about that. I just wanted to bring to your attention, if you go back to 2011, that'd be the second one there. Just like everybody else here in the city, we minimized our budget expenses. We decreased the budget at that time, and we reduced approximately about $261,000 off the budget at that time. You add that to the $200,000 that we saved in the overtime expenditures, that's a little under a half a mil. So the police department is making every effort to be very conservative, and we will continue to do so in the next years to come. So. If there's anything else I want to talk about there. The last form sheets I gave you there, looking at the area police departments, this basically gives you some comparables. And as you can see, I went and contacted each of these departments. One, how many personnel they had, and at the time, I was also looking at how many vehicles they had, too. You take a look at Maumee PD, you know, they have a $6.1 million budget, 45 sworn officers. I could go on, and you know, but, you know, once again, we are the leanest police department in Northwest Ohio, and we're meeting the needs of our citizens out there. So,
Chief, just give us the comparables. We have 34 sworn officers.
Correct.
And our budgets look like they add up to about 4.6 million. Is that about
4.7?
4.7 million. Okay.
Chief, can you talk to us a little bit about what the what our community affairs officers, our SRO officers, I just don't really know what they do. I noticed looking at your list that a lot of communities don't have those. Could you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Currently, we have four officers assigned to the community affairs bureau. You have one sergeant that's in charge of the bureau. You have two officers assigned as SROs, one over in Northview, the other one at Southview. And you have one DARE officer that teaches DARE full-time, and he also teaches third grade seatbelt safety to a lot of the elementary schools. The sergeant, a lot of times when you don't have, in the years past, I'll go back to over 2 years ago, anytime we had officers that were absent, as a school officer at the high schools, we would pay overtime to make sure we had an officer over there. I did away with that. I don't pay the overtime. A lot of times I have my sergeant go over there and he'll replace the officer that's absent for a day or two. So we take care of it that way. Same thing with the DARE officer. If he's out and we have to have a DARE class be taught, I also have the officer at Southview High School that can go over to McCord Junior High, and he teaches DARE over there to the junior high school for 2 weeks a year. And then the sergeant, who's in community affairs at that time, will go over to the high school when he's available and sit in as a school officer over there. So we are trying to minimize our overtime expenditures in that respect also. So with the community affairs sergeant, he takes care of a lot of the budget process over there for community affairs, making out all the reports that are required for a lot of the grants that we receive over there in community affairs, such as the DARE grant. That's part of his responsibilities over there. Once again, if for some reason, if we would lose personnel down the road and could not replace them, that is one area in which I would have to look at restructuring personnel in community affairs. So that's why maybe possibly bringing two of them out to the road patrol. So that's always a possibility. So
Chief, do we have somebody at Timberstone? You didn't mention Timberstone.
Timberstone's in the township.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But no, I yeah, do not believe township has anybody over at Timberstone. No. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, we used to have the part-time, and we used to have five officers assigned to community affairs. Now, if you recall, we had six on a shift. We had five in community affairs, six on the road. I felt we had probably one too many in community affairs, so that's why I pulled one out of community affairs and reassigned them to the road patrol. We're still teaching there over at McCourt Junior High, just by grabbing the officer out of Southview High School and sending him over there for a couple weeks to teach there. The only thing that McCourt doesn't have right now is a school officer. Now, you know, I would say, you know, I'm always concerned when there's a problem at any junior high and any problem in schools. But McCord, over the last couple of years, I can count on two hands how many incidents that we've had at McCord. And it's just basically, it might be a little fight here and there. It might be a theft of a bike or something like that. I thought we didn't need a school officer over there at McCord Junior High. We'd be better utilize on the road patrol.
Is it the principal that handles that then?
The principal will call our community affairs, and if we have an officer available in community affairs at the time, we will send the officer over there to take a report. If not, we just handle it from the road patrol. They will send an officer over there to handle anything. And the same thing with Southview or Northview. By chance, if we don't have a school officer over there for that day, we can't get the sergeant over there, we'll cover it with the road patrol. And, you know, Southview is a little different than Northview. We haven't had as many incidents at Northview this year as we've had at Southview. So we try to make sure that I have two great school officers that work every day as much as possible over there. and we don't have too many problems. Nothing like Toledo.
Chief, I have a question about the staffing. Just looking like at the 3 to 11 shift, which you said is always usually the busiest, got the sergeant and the 7 patrolmen. Mm-hmm. So 3 cars always on the road. Those extra patrolmen, are they back here and covering breaks, or how's that handled?
No, you have 3 officers are assigned to districts, and then you have what are called float cars. These officers back up the officers in all the districts.
Okay.
So they flow around the whole city, and each and every day the officers take turns being the float car. That way they're not, we don't restrict our officers to stay the whole time in a particular district, being we're not all that large of a city. But the float officers will respond to be the backup to all the district cars, and they will handle calls on station as well. So normally you'll have 4 to 5 officers working per shift. On a good day.
That are physically out in cars, single in each car.
Yes, sir.
Chief, I've got an observation here from the other things that Maumee does not have school resource officers. Harrisburg does not supply school resource officers, even though they do have high schools in their districts. And going down the list, there aren't many that do have. Doesn't look like Bowling Green has school resource officers. Am I misreading this?
No, I think speaking of what, you know what I can speak about is Maumee. They used to have school officers once upon a time, and I think due to budget restraints over the years, they've done away with the school officers there. So.
Okay. And currently our school resource officers were reimbursed by the school district for 50% of their time in the schools. Is that
correct?
Accurate?
Yeah. Which basically amounts to
about a third of their total salary or so?
I would say probably $36,000.
Total reimbursement?
Per officer would be about $72,000 per year for the two of them.
All right. So about half their time.
Yeah, so.
And you use those officers in the summertime back on the street patrol when people are on vacation and things like that.
We also have Safety City going on in which they participate. A couple other little events that they have to take care of. But then we utilize them on any time that we have them available. They've been out there working on the road. We call them for assistance. So we utilize them. Like I said, we're a very lean department, so I like to utilize each and every member, including myself. I've responded to calls out there, so I'm no different from anybody else.
Chief Rodas, I want to thank you for this report. I think it's very thorough and very well done. I'm sure there probably will be other questions here yet today, but I'm very grateful for your diligent work here. And certainly it's a very delicate balance that you face here in terms of balancing high quality service that our community expects. And also when we take into consideration your ability to have controlled the overtime. And I think as we look at what you've accomplished, that's one thing that I think we really need to give you some credit for and kudos for, your ability to have curtailed the overtime. And I think as we look at the staffing of your area in the future, we certainly wouldn't want to put you in a position where that delicate balance was shaken again, where you were needing to put more overtime on because you've cut back police officers or some of that patrol support. So I just wanted to extend a thanks to you for your good work.
Thank you.
Chief, how's the morale of the officers? You've gone through a lot of changes over the last couple of years. How's their morale?
Well, it kind of depends on who you talk to. it's like any police department, you're going to have some you cannot please at all. And I would say the majority, probably 80%, the morale was very good. You know, you always have 10% that are really high morale, and you have 10% that's really low morale. So it's a fine balance, you know. I always work on the 80% to make sure that I maintain their morale up there. It's been a challenge the last 2 years, you know. I've asked a lot of the officers, you know, and a lot of my staff, and I ask a lot of myself. You know, I try to set the example and make sure that we're doing the right thing. We're not out there foolishly spending the monies. We're doing a good thing, and we're protecting and serving the public to the best of our capability out there. So
they have lost the overtime pay. Some of them missed that very much, no doubt about it.
But, you know, Mr. Mayor, if I could make an observation, I too want to give the chief a lot of credit and suggest, given the fact that this is our first department head that we've actually heard from, I believe, in our committee of the whole meetings on the budget, that what the chief has done is essentially established a model that I would encourage the other departments to follow. Not every department has the same challenges with overtime, but I'm guessing that every department has some financial areas that perhaps can be addressed. I mean, the chief was very proactive in identifying overtime as being the financial challenge in his department. And then I think secondly, he came up with what I would characterize as very innovative solutions to address those financial challenges, right? You determined that we could in fact do more with the same amount of money while reducing the overtime number. And so, you know, clearly I feel every bit as safe today as I did 3 or 4 years ago when we were paying that overtime amount. But beyond that, you had the ability to sell it to your men and women. You know, the fact that you went and got them to accept the change, and I don't know that we should necessarily speak to the morale issue, but clearly you understand that the people that serve you are professionals and that they're prepared to do their job. So, Mr. Mayor, I guess I would encourage every one of our other department heads to look at their own operations in the same way. And I'm sure you're going through this process already, but I think they should be challenged by the police division in terms of their ability to identify similarly areas of cost savings that they can address. And I am looking forward to hearing about those other divisions and departments as we move forward through the spring and summer.
Scott, are we looking towards the street department next?
Yeah.
They also have a number of employees. They don't put in much overtime except during weather events. Mm-hmm. But that's a place where we need justification. What are you doing with all these people? And, you know, over the years, they've come up with their routine of leaves in the fall, snow in winter, and maintenance, and then actual street improvements during the spring and summer. And it'll be interesting to hear from that. That division also has a new head that's only been there a year or two. And it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say.
Well, Chief Rodas, I also want to thank you for your work. And I want to say that what you said earlier about going out is very, very true. 2 years ago during the Jamie Farr, I was driving down Erie Street, and I looked to my left, and there was Chief Rodas out moving barrels where the buses come in. And I thought that impressed me that the chief, you're talking the talk and walking the walk, I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, Chief, I echo a lot of what I've heard here. I want to also, before we get out of this finance committee meeting, thank Scott for providing us the updated information, and particularly the updated information about what our current actual budget projections would mean. Obviously that current situation, if you will, is a much more presents a situation that's much more of concern to us on a short-term basis than the reasonable proposal that you gave us. But the reasonable proposal you gave us, or projection that you gave us, assumes that we're going to do a lot of hard work in the city to control costs. And a lot, and obviously, we see some of that right here in this presentation today. And I guess I'll say what is obvious here, and that is that I think our neighbors, and I know people, I tell people all the time, you know, if you have a concern with your safety, with your issue, call the police, and they will come. In Sylvania, we will respond. Somebody will come and address your concern. And ultimately, that is probably the, I would put that at the top of the priority list of the things that we need to address. As we go through each of these, and I'm trying to assess, you know, what's, you know, where would we cut if we were to make cuts? And obviously, it's in providing services that don't impact that response. In this instance, points to community affairs, our school resource officers, and our involvements in the school. That obviously is going to mean that our road patrol people are responding to incidents in the school, and that creates personnel issues as well. The other one that I wanted to talk about and get your feedback on a little bit was the court security issue. We have a situation, I think, where I probably harp on it too much, but the burden of our municipal court, which serves a much larger area than just our city, falls entirely upon us. And obviously, we are the only entity that's paying for that officer in the court. Now, we get some monies, as I understand it, from the Village of Holland. Does any of that money help us defer the cost of that officer?
Probably not directly. The budget really runs through Scott, but there's the Village of Holland as an incorporated entity has two obligations to the court. One is to pay an appropriate amount for the prosecution of their cases in our court, and we bill them on a monthly basis for that service in our prosecutor's office. Additionally, they are required to pay and help partially reimburse the city for some of the expenses of the court. And it's a statutory provision. It doesn't include everything. Some quirky things that are not included, I can't immediately jump to my mind, but statutorily that's the issue. And Scott and I, independent of this discussion, are working with Holland to more accurately reflect those costs to them to get an appropriate reimbursement back. So we've been doing it for a year, and we're revisiting on a better way to actually track the actual costs. So I don't know if court security officer is listed.
Well, that's my question.
I don't think it's listed on the statutory provision for reimbursement. That probably wasn't even thought of at the time that they did it. Scott, do you remember the five or six things that we're entitled to?
Well, the court officer's salary is in the remainder. We subtract out some utilities. And
it's utilities. We have to pay for the utilities.
It's, you know, building and space, that sort of thing. But the, you know, beginning last year, the court officer is now charged with the courts. And it's not on the police budget. So it's in the cost that we're...
Okay, good.
So we did do that, and then we've also, I think maybe the chief or someone can speak to the net savings to the city by taking a uniformed trained officer off court security and substituting for part-time security personnel. That dollar figure I think is pretty decent.
Yeah, I would say the officer that was assigned over there at the time is a 20-year veteran. So you have to average his salary plus the fringe benefits. You're looking at $110,000. He was spending approximately 30 to 35 hours over there. He was also the property room officer at that time, brought him back. I have full use of him now. And at the time, I was not, it was coming out of my budget for that officer to be there. You have to look at the other thing. When he was off on vacation, sick time, comp time, and you had to have an officer over there, I had to pay a overtime for an officer to be over there. So thus, you have to add that into it. And this officer being a 20-year veteran, you're looking at 25 days of vacation time, 20 days of comp time he can use. So you're looking at 45 days. And if you took him on the days that he was required to be over there in court, it was quite costly on overtime. So brought him back, and the court then obtained their own officer over there. And I believe on average, he's working maybe 10 to 12 hours a week over there.
The rate is a significant discount. I don't know what that would convert on an hourly basis.
I believe it is, yeah.
Well, I mean, his compensation is in the 18, I forget. But it's probably a third or less of what the other officer's rate.
Well, that's good, and frankly, that fits with the picture that we're having painted here. I guess I know it's been a while since I've looked at the costs of having a municipal court in Sylvania, but I think the last time I looked, it was around $1 million that it costs us, and I know that currently have some pretty good contacts at NOMA right now, and I would hope that as we legislatively talk to our legislators, continue to keep in the forefront the current unfairness of this municipal allocation when we are paying for a court that services Sylvania Township, half of Springfield Township, and it would be, it's only fair that those folks share in that cost burden. And I know that may not be directly applicable here. Yeah, and you've already done great work for those people. So, you know, they ought to say thank you. But we need to continue to keep our eyes on the prize there and the ability to, in the event that we could more fairly share those costs, that will protect us and our ability to continue to provide these other services.
I have met with Barbara Sears several times about the court costs, but not for the last, probably not this calendar year, but she had found an alliance with some other cities similar to ours. We're not the only one in this condition. And she had a legislative person in the Ohio legislature doing research trying to compile who it affects and who might also stand with us in requesting a change in state law to spread that cost around. We thought we had it done 10 years ago when we supported Sylvania Township becoming a home rule township, but then the Attorney General for Ohio did a 180 as to what legislation said.
Well, it continues to be an issue, and I know, and I didn't mean to suggest that we didn't have our eye on the ball there at all. I just, as we look at these budget issues, this is one place where that court obligation, and it happens in other, there are other ones as well, but it particularly happens, but this is one that's specific, and I'm glad we've been efficient in minimizing that cost.
Chief, I was wondering if you could tell us about the success of your volunteer program and what you're comfortable having them do and what you're not comfortable having them do. So.
Well, I will tell you this. Volunteers are a great assistance to the police department. It's probably one of the finest group of citizens that we have assisting the police department. What we allow them to do is, there's many things. So we allow them to do some lockouts of vehicles for us. They will respond to a traffic accident if we need to have some barricades or have some extra personnel at that time. They will set up their vehicle and assist us with blocking off a a residential intersection, perhaps, things of that nature. They also participate in a lot of special events. It would say downtown, if we have a special event going on, they can assist in walk around downtown where we have perhaps officers working on the street, and we don't need to have security down there. There are eyes and ears down there. And if there's a problem down there, they'll call us, and they've been a great asset to the police department. I think we have two units. You have patrol volunteers that will go out in a police vehicle. That's not a per se police vehicle, but they will drive around, and if they see anything happening in the residential areas, neighborhoods, they will alert us. They also will take a look at streetlights. If the streetlights are out, they will stop and put a little tag around the streetlight, and they notify our dispatch. So they assist us with a lot of things that we don't necessarily have to tie up a sworn police officer on. So they've been a great asset to us.
And how many people are currently participating in that program approximately?
I don't have the number offhand. I would have to say probably a little over 11 or 12 in both of the units, approximately, so give or take.
So, and some of them put in a lot of hours for us.
Yeah.
A few of them are just, it's a lot of hours every week. They also take around the speed units that are set along the roads. They're responsible for those. And again, as the chief said, you always see them at our big events where we just need more people around.
Mm-hmm. Are there other questions for Chief Rose? Any questions for Mr. Smith as we prepare for the next session? I'm seeing none. I thank you all for your participation. Chief Brodus, thank you again very much from all of us for all your work. And we stand adjourned at 5:37 p.m.